Let's pray together, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your kindness and your mercy and your love, your compassion and your grace for each and every one of us. Help us to realize this morning how much heaven misses us, how valuable we are in your sight. I know the hour and the events of the hour are pressing. May we take fresh encouragement this morning to press on in our Christian life. We thank you that you've made all the resources available to us for this purpose. We ask your blessing upon our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, speaking particularly to the students and the young people that are here, obviously, with us today, we're always happy to have young people, youth and young adults here with us as part of our church family. And I know it's coming to the business end of the school year. So two words for you. Press on. Keep going. A couple more weeks. All those tests and final papers and exams will be over. And you'll have the long stretch of the summer ahead of you. Press on until the end. And faith as well for your baptism. Remember, this is just the beginning of your journey. Learn to grow in God's grace and in his knowledge every day. And you'll keep getting stronger. Press on. Last Monday was a rather poignant event, obviously, took place in Boston. Maybe some of you tracked that, maybe some of you followed that. I believe, actually, there was an Adventist from our community, from College View Church, that actually ran that marathon last Monday. Of course, it was the yearly anniversary of the terrible events that took place in that part of the world a year ago. And I also noticed in the news reports that an American runner won the race, the first time, I think, for many, many years. You know, it's very hard to beat those Kenyans and those Ethiopians and those African runners that just train at altitude and must have incredible hearts to be able to run so fast for so long. Some of you know that after I gave up playing soccer in my early 30s, I wanted to do something to stay fit, and so I took up running as well and managed to get up to running 5K distances and 10K distances and then up to 10 miles, and then I ran a whole bunch of half marathons, and they seemed to be enough for me. Half marathons, they seem like full marathons to me. And I went up a couple of times to watch and cheer on athletes at the London Marathon, and one year I said, I think I can do this. I think I can do this. I subscribed to Runner's World magazine religiously, got a training schedule and had a time that I wanted to do in my mind, and followed this program for probably about 9 months, maybe a year, pretty religiously through the winter and everything. And as I was running down the last mile of the race, 25 miles under my belt already, running down the last mile past some very historic places in the center of London, I looked at my watch. And I realized that the Runner's World pacers for that time I wanted to do were all ahead of me. And my heart kind of sank. And I could have almost stopped right there and then. I wouldn't say that was hitting my wall experience, but certainly psychologically, I thought, there's no way that I can make my time. And then I ran on for the next half a mile. My body and my rhythm just kept me going. I was, of course, amongst a whole bunch of people and crowds lining the streets, cheering you on. And I just managed to keep in that rhythm for the next half a mile or so. This last part of the race was running down towards Buckingham Palace and flipping around and heading back up the Mall, very historic sites. And then I realized, about 400 meters, maybe 600 meters from the line, that I could still make my time. The pacers had obviously gone on and brought the people through maybe a couple of minutes ahead, and I'd been working for this for such a long time, and I looked at my watch again, and I said, I think I can do this. And it gave me some fresh inspiration. It seemed like I had a new pair of legs again. I just started to sprint as fast as I could. I'd done 25 and a half miles. And those of you that have run marathons know what this feeling is like. And I ran as fast as I could towards that finishing line. And I stopped my watch. And I looked at it. And to my joy, I'd come in 2 seconds underneath my target time of 3 hours, 15 minutes. I was mightily relieved. And the euphoria from the previous mile to crossing the finishing line was a great feeling. Young people, kids, youth, young adults, one of the keys, one of the great keys to success in life is the ability to simply keep on going. We would say that this is the ability to persevere, the ability to press on when pressed down, the ability to endure. Jesus said this in his mini apocalyptic discourse in Matthew 24, 12 to 13. He said these words, Jesus said this, talking about the times that we live in, friends. Jesus said this, he said, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end might be saved, will be saved. You know, it's very interesting as we look through the Bible, we see that whatever God starts, he finishes, he completes. Wonderful Bible truth that we get right from the start in Genesis chapter 1. And I'm going to read just a few verses here from Genesis chapter 1. Everything that God does, he does well. And everything that God starts, he finishes, he completes. Look at this at the end of the creation story, Genesis 1, verses 31 through Genesis 2, verse 3. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. God sees you who he has made, and he says the same words to you too. Very good. As we saw Faith get baptized earlier, Faith, you are God's beloved daughter, and in you he is well pleased. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus, the heavens and the earth were half-baked. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, finished in all their vast array, in all their beauty, in all their detail. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. What a wonderful example to follow here. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on the seventh day, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God always finishes what he starts. I'm going to flip over to the Gospel of John now, and John 19, verses 28 through 30. Of course, our last weekend was a special weekend on the Christian calendar, and we enjoyed, again, thinking about the amazing sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. The work of creation, God finished it, completed it in 6 days, 6 literal days, 6 24-hour periods. He gave us the week so that we can enjoy his beauty and his creation. And God started the work of creation, and God finished the work of creation. John chapter 19, verse 28, we find that same God, that same man who spoke the world into existence upon a Roman cross, bearing the sins of the world. In verse 28 of John 19, it says, later, knowing all that was now completed, knowing that all was now completed, Jesus said, I'm thirsty. And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And when Jesus had received the drink, Jesus said, Tetelestai in Greek, paid in full. It is finished. The work of salvation that Jesus came to do here on earth. Nothing distracted him from it. There's a beautiful verse in Luke chapter 19, verse 51. It's the hinge verse in the Gospel of Luke. It says that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He knew that his time for going back to heaven was soon to dawn. And Jesus resolutely, determinedly set out on that journey to Jerusalem. And nothing stopped Jesus from paying the price for our sins in full with his precious blood. If we flip to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21, we have a promise for the future here as well. God always completes what he starts. Revelation chapter 21 and verses 1 through 6. We're not quite there yet, but I think we're going to be soon, friends. And then John saw this in vision. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men and women, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe every tear from our eyes. And in that new place, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. You can build your life upon them, friends. He said to me, it is done. It's a beautiful trilogy, isn't it, from the work of creation. God saw that everything he made was very good. And then he rested, and then he enjoyed it. And the work of our salvation as well, friends. When Jesus came to this earth, he resolutely, determinedly set out for Jerusalem, knowing that his time in this world was very limited, and our time in this world is also very limited, friends. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And then as we flip forward to scenes here of the life to come, glorification, we see God saying those same words again. It is done. It's taken care of. And let me assure you this morning, friends, the God of creation, the God of salvation, the God of glorification, if he's begun a good work in your life, if you let him, he'll surely complete it. Because God never starts anything that he doesn't complete. So let us endure to the end of the semester. Let us endure in our Christian lives. Let us persevere and let us press on. A couple more Bible promises here from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. It says this, Hebrews chapter 10 verses 35 to 39. So do not throw away your confidence in your Christian faith. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised, life eternal with him. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And this, but my righteous one will live by faith. and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Wonderful assurances there are for us, friends, in the promises of God. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 says this: "For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We give great honor to those who endure under suffering." We've seen some other examples of this on the screen this morning, friends. We give great honor. We get inspired by those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. Wouldn't you like that on your tombstone? A man of great endurance. A woman of great endurance. Someone who pressed on. Of course, there are many other Bible characters apart from Job that persevered, that endured, that pressed on. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, David, Daniel, Jeremiah, Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 and 16 through 18 says this: "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed or broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do. But we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep on going. And that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our inner strength in the Lord is growing every day. These troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys of heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come are going to last forever." Friends, let me share with you five truths from our passage today that Alexis read from us from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Five truths from our passage today that will help us press on in our lives. Number one, and this we can find in verses 10 and 11 of our scripture reading this morning. Five truths that help us press on. Number one, knowing Christ. Not knowing about Christ. Knowing Christ personally, intimately, and his sufferings, death, and resurrection will help us press on. There's something about the name and the life of Jesus, the sufferings of Jesus, the death of Jesus, where God demonstrated without a shadow of a doubt that he loved us more than he loved himself as Jesus hung upon the cross. every drop of blood, every drop of sweat was to convince you, friend, that God loves you more than he loves himself. Knowing Christ and his sufferings and his death and his resurrection helps me press on in life. Truth number two, to help us press on. And this is found in verses 12 and the first part of verses 13 in our passage. And this might surprise you, this thought. Recognizing that we haven't arrived yet. Recognizing our weaknesses and imperfections will also help us press on. Don't get discouraged when God shows you your weaknesses and your imperfections, because he's showing you that for a reason. He's showing you that so that in his strength and in his perfection, you'll press on. Truth number three from this passage is found in the second part of verse 13. Being focused will help us press on. Paul says in this passage, and he's writing this in prison, but one thing I do. Is your life jumbled or is your life focused? Paul was focused and single-minded every day since he had that Damascus Road experience. Being focused and single-minded will help you press on. Number four, forgetting the past, which, let's face it, none of us can do anything about. Forgetting the past and looking forward to the future will help us press on. What future does God have in mind for you? Well, the long-term goal of that is heaven. The ultimate destiny that God has planned for you is heaven, a place at his side, a place in his presence, and by God's Spirit, and by the thoughts contained in God's Word, all the promises, the warnings that come from a heart of unutterable love are there to help us press on to our heavenly destiny. Forgetting the past and looking forward to the future will help us today in the present press on. And number five, the fifth truth from this passage in Philippians chapter 3 is to remember. Remembering our ultimate goal and prize, heaven, will help us press on. There was a time when I was running out one winter's night. I could see from my Runner's World schedule that I needed to run 10 miles this night. And I was tired. It was the end of the day. It was dark. It was in the winter. And it was a wet and windy and a night that was raining. And I looked at the schedule for the rest of the week and I thought, I'll just skip today. I won't press on. There was a time when I was running out one winter's night. I could see from my Runner's World schedule that I needed to run 10 miles this night. And I was tired. It was the end of the day. It was dark. It was in the winter. And it was a wet and windy and a night that was raining. And I looked at the schedule for the rest of the week and I thought, I'll just skip today. I won't press on with this schedule. I'll just skip today. But something inside me, maybe it's a sense of duty that I grew up with, maybe it's a sense of being true to myself, I went and I got changed. I didn't feel like getting changed. I got my running shorts on, I got my running top on, I got my weatherproof coat on. I said, I'm going to do this. I don't feel like it at all. I don't feel like I'm even doing a mile, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep to the schedule. I'm going to trust the schedule and keep on going. And I got out that night, and it wasn't a pleasant run at all. It was windy. It was wet. My feet were soaked. I was tired. I got back home, ran myself a nice bath, collapsed in it with some sense of satisfaction that I had been able to press on and keep to the schedule. It was while I hit maybe mile 18, 19, 20 in the London Marathon the following year that the thought of getting my kit on, getting my clothes on, getting my running gear on that night helped propel me through those difficult miles through 20 and 24 and 25. Friends, let's press on, because God is calling young and old, women and children, rich and poor, to follow Him. Can you hear that voice this morning? The upward call, Paul calls it, the upward divine call to the prize, to the goal that's set before each and every one of us. The ultimate goal and prize is eternal life in heaven. Lord, from time to time we do get weary and discouraged, disheartened. Whatever's before us, today, tomorrow, this week, till the end of the semester, help us to be true to ourselves and to be true to You. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground, and may we remember always the day of our own baptism when we made that commitment to You that we would stay with You all the way, trusting in Your promise that He who began a good work in you will complete it. Help us to press on with renewed energy and determination and vigor, we pray. By Your grace and by Your Spirit empowering us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.